Welcome back to the Cooking Barker Podcast with our host, Adam and Tiny. They'll be talking about bars, restaurants, hospitality industry, what you didn't know, what you might want to know, and now on with today's subject.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cooking Bartender Podcast, recorded from Tiny's World Headquarters.
Oh, it is live right now.
Currently it is, yes.
So if you put it in your head, we're live, but you're here and recorded.
We are alive.
Yeah.
That's the most important part.
We're not a robot yet.
Not yet. So how are you, Tiny?
I am doing great. I love having the microphone in front of my face again.
Does feel good. It does feel good.
Good.
Cool.
I like it. I like it a lot.
How has life been for you?
I think I got traumatized in our ice storm we just had.
I think a lot of us might have.
It's not nice when you hear a crack, crack, and all of a sudden, boom, and a tree hits your house. tree limb. Not the tree.
Did it do any damage?
No.
All right.
No damage.
That's the important part.
I had enough snow on top of my roof. It kind of just slid off, but still.
That was a wicked vicious ice storm. I've been up here 6 years. I have not seen anything like it. That was unreal.
I haven't had that kind of ice storm since 2000.
Yeah, it's rare when every weather app has a do not drive like warning flashing on it. Like, I've never seen that. Yeah, I couldn't get home.
No, I wouldn't. I could barely get from my house to my shack.
Yeah, like River Road was, I mean, it's only 2 miles long. You couldn't even get a quarter mile. You would have been in the ditch.
Right.
But yeah, that was wild. We had 3 to 5 inches of ice buildup on the roads and on roofs and shit.
Yep.
And all the trees. It was kind of cool. They were all glass looking. I felt like when I was driving that next day when it was sunny out, like you're in some psychedelic fairyland.
It was very psychedelic, and watch the trees are all bent over. And
yeah.
But you look at some yards and some people in the pine trees are just drop their limbs all over the place. Like, oh.
Yeah, my neighbor's little pine tree, I feel bad for it. It's about 3 years old and maybe 4 feet tall. Well, now it is 1 foot tall and dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So
wah,
sad.
Wah, wah.
Oh. Oh, wrong one. There you go.
Rest all in right, peace, tree. Yeah.
Well, let's cheers because we're here.
Cheers to another episode and good to see you. And Hello, everybody out there. We love you. Thanks for tuning in.
So, I know we had notes. I had notes. And I know you had notes. Here's a story about today's episode. We have notes. We both left them at home. But we kind of quickly jotted some stuff down.
The one time we actually both got prepared, because usually one of us has notes and one of us is kind of freestyling it.
Yep.
So this is one we both wrote notes down and we lost them and left them at home.
And I don't even have a dog. Can't even blame it on a dog.
Yeah, right. The dog.
And Rufus ate it.
The dog ate my notes.
Damn it.
Me neither. I cannot use that excuse.
These are Labrador notes.
So we're going to kind of freestyle it. Our topic today is, I guess you'd call it, advice on how to be a better patron.
Yeah.
And it's not a negative ripping on episode. I know we did one where we kind of made fun of some different things that happened in our world, our VAP episode, which was a fun one. This one's a little bit more of an educational one for the customer.
But we'll still make it fun.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. But basically some things in that the guests can do to not only make our lives easier, but also it will give them a better experience and get them better service.
Yep.
And a little bit of some quirky things that people do that they think they're helping that really are not. So.
And sometimes you are, but probably 85% you're not.
So this will be advice from our perspective.
Yep. A cook and a bartender.
That's right.
I do waitressing once in a while. Waitressing? I'd wear
serving.
A skirt. Why not?
Serving.
But, yeah.
And obviously, you know where I work. We do it all. Cook, bartend, serve, bus, bar back.
I'm surprised I can't even get thing going here. My glasses are, like, nasty. They're like my future ex-wife. Nasty.
I love it. Good stuff. Good stuff.
I hope she doesn't listen to this, because I call one girl my future ex-wife.
Yeah.
I just remember that. Oh, she doesn't listen to this episode.
Ruh-roh.
Hello. Sorry. All right. Let's get on with this thing
before we spiral out of control.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I think the first thing, like I said, I lost my bullet point note, so might be a little out of order, but.
This is more like a shotgun.
Yeah. So I think one thing that I find would be the most helpful for both the guests and us and the whole operation as a whole at that moment is for people, and especially larger groups, to be patient.
Oh, yeah.
You be aware of what's going on. Look around the room. If you don't get seated right away, if you don't get your drinks right away, if you don't get your food in 20 minutes, there's usually a really, really legit reason. There's so many things behind the scenes of a restaurant or a bar, things that we're behind on, things just you don't know what's going on in the kitchen, how many tickets there are.
It's like Alice in Wonderland. Don't look behind the green curtain.
You're right.
We don't want to show you what's going on behind there.
Yeah.
You got the bunch of monkeys running back there.
There's so many little things that the customer doesn't see that go on in a busy establishment that need to be attended to in order just to keep the place running and for anybody to get service. Oftentimes, you're going to wait 5 extra minutes because there's things that I have no ice, I have no this, I need to do this in order to get to you to give you the best service.
Yep.
And in the kitchen, it's even more, 20,000 things.
Yep. Going on. And nowadays, with how short of help we are, which is so weird, what happened to all our help? I'd like to know that. I guess I'll never know.
I know, aliens.
They all went home.
Yep. E.T. phoned home.
Damn.
Yep.
I never thought about that.
That's you deep.
Put that on the table.
But yeah, be patient. Remind yourself that there is a legit reason. And obviously, you go into places and you do see some slow service and the server's playing on their phone.
Like me on Thursdays.
Yeah, right. If they're playing on their phone and they're telling stories to their coworker about last Friday night's party and you can hear it, that's one thing. But you know, 8 times out of 10, there's a legit reason that the server's not at your table or the bartender's not coming to you right now. You're on the list, you're on the priority list, but there's only so much we can do.
Yep.
Like I said, in order to get you beverages, we need to make sure glasses are clean and ice and all that stuff. And the keg pop, we're changing the keg.
And who knows if some other table's running you. Well, you're like,
Right, because there are those tables that will consume you.
Yep. That's where you need to learn how to control your tables. Sub them up a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good segue into one of the notes I had.
I'm sorry, I'm jumping notes here. Sorry.
Yeah, we don't really slap people.
No. A verbal smile slap.
Right, we have subtle cues. Subtle, non-physical slaps.
I had a bunch of snowblowers in here, and I was all by myself, and I'm like, 10 snowblowers. And I'm like, ugh. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love them. I have a love-hate relationship with them. I tell everybody that. But then they're like, well, but I'm like, whoa, slow down here, boys and girls.
Back up.
First things first, what do you want to drink? Oh. And is this all going to be on one ticket?
Right. We get that a lot where these groups just walk in and
start blurring on.
Yeah, they walk in the door and the whole group spreads out. One guy is on one corner of the bar yelling, hamburger, beer. And you literally have to tell, who are you with? They're like, oh, I don't know. They're around somewhere. And it's like, all right, let's get. It's like every group, somebody needs to just take control and take the
Somebody needs to be CEO.
Yeah, let's figure out where we're sitting. Find your table. I'll come to you. It's much easier for me to get all 12 of your drinks. Then Johnny's on left side of the bar yelling Bush Light and hamburger. Yep. Susie's yelling Malibu pineapple from the pool table.
Just put it on the tab. What tab are
what
you?
What tab, right?
There's 150 of you in here. What the hell are you talking about?
Just take charge of your large group. Especially, I see it a lot too. And they've been on the pontoon. They've been drinking and it's intoxication. I get it. And it's not the end of the world. If you're coming in a large group, organize yourselves. Collect your thoughts. Figure out where you're going to sit. What you're going to do. And then when I come to you, boom, I get all 12 of your drinks, I bring them out, I'll be back in a few minutes, here's some menus, I'll come back and check on you, rather than just free roaming and yelling stuff at me. It just drives me bananas sometimes. You're just like, what is going on here? Where have you never left your house? And
ooh, better than have a CEO, they need a Boy Scout or Girl Scout leader.
Yeah, somebody needs
to. Because a bunch of little kids are running around, somebody needs to be at least 15 years old.
That's what it feels like sometimes.
Somebody needs to take control of these bags.
Herding kittens. Yep. So yes, be that CEO, be that Boy Scout, Girl Scout leader, and get your group organized. It will make your life easier, your service better, and my life easier.
Yep.
And I'll be able to get to you in a more orderly fashion, and life will be good.
Yeah, because I had a group in here of 12. They called ahead the day before, which was cool. They came, so we had everything kind of set up for them, and because we didn't know exactly everything, but we knew a little bit. And the one guy was like, all right, we want this. Boom. And he was in charge. He did. Boom, boom, boom. And I was like, whoa, this is cool,
That's nice.
And then he had the CFO. And he's like, CFO, take care of the bill.
I'm
like,
perfect.
Damn. He's like, oh, yeah. And this is my Excel over here. I'm like, wow, he has everything all lined up. Everything was cool. Bam, wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. It was awesome.
And that's always a good feeling when you have that organized group. You got the leader. They tell you who's paying.
Yep.
And another thing that leads into that, and I see a lot, saw a lot this winter, but these groups come in. They're chaotic, disorganized. They've been partying. It's all good. They're going to sit down for lunch. And then you ask them, when I go to their table, I want to make it as easy for me as possible. So get the drinks. Cool. Now, are we going to be on, one ticket or multiple tickets? Throw it all on one. So you do the 12 burgers and they're there for a couple hours and they're drinking and all this and their tab's huge.
Yep.
And then you go to bring it to them and they're like, oh, we're going to split that up. Make the decision when you sit down and please let your server or bartender know we're going to be on one tab. Just clear that up right away.
Yeah.
Because when you go to pay that tab at the end, you bring the ticket up and it's $200 and something and there's 50 line items on there. now I have to stop in a packed bar and go on the computer and split them all, which is...
And you got to remember who did had what.
Who had what, and then a lot of times, especially if they've been drinking, they forgot how many drinks they had. And all it does is stop service for everybody else.
Usually when that happens, especially in the restaurant in my world, we don't split chicks for over six people, eight people, whatever it is. Sometimes we will. So it depends upon the person and if it's busy or whatever. But we had a 14 top, seven couples, and we said right away at the table, we don't split up. And they're like, but we'll give you the ticket and you can figure it all out. And he's like, no, we want split checks. We won't do it. And then got to the end and they're like, well, we want split checks. We said, we don't do it. So I told the waitress, give him a calculator, a pen and a piece of paper and a tab. And she's like, here you go. Here it is. And she's like, but I'm like, we don't have time. We're getting our ass kicked. You know, it's middle of summer. I'm like, here you go. And she's like, pop, pop. And I walked behind him. I'm like, we don't have time. Sorry. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Some people left good tips. Some are like pissy. And
I've worked at places that it's clearly on big bold letters on the menu. Yep. We do not split. Cause
and people
are
like, that's so easy. And when you know, it's like so easy. You have a computer, you can split it up, blah, blah. But it's easy if you know who's with who, too, at the very beginning.
Yeah. And if you have a packed restaurant, especially in a bar scenario where everybody's wandering around, I mean, I can't remember what Johnny, if he had four or six Bush Lights and who, what. But even when they come up to pay, we do split them, and that's fine. We don't have a policy against it. But if it's a really long ticket and you have 12 people and it's six different tabs or seven different tabs, I have to shut down service for the other people that they're getting the bad service because it takes me 10 minutes to split this up the way our computer's built.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Some computers are easy. Some computers aren't. Then you got to remember who had what.
Yeah, right. So just kind of advice for all you patrons out there, let the server know right away what your intentions are. Because even if it's slow, too, sometimes people will sit down and they don't say it, and they're probably thinking, oh, it's slow. We'll have time to split the tickets. But in this area, lake resort area, snowmobile season, I mean, it could be six people, and then 15 minutes later, we have 53 people in the bar. All of a sudden, it comes out of nowhere, and that's when it gets chaotic to split that tip. I don't have the time.
Nope.
So, yeah, just your instructions, whatever your expectations are when you sit down, let the server know. You're all on the same page, and then it helps the server keep better track of it, too.
Yeah.
That way, we're
give
not
you better service
giving
too.
You better service and making sure your ticket's correct and all that good stuff at the end.
Yeah.
So that's
true.
Very good advice.
I like that advice. Man, we are rocking it today. I don't care what anybody says, we're rocking it.
I like that attitude.
Oh, look at that. Turkeys! No, honestly, I got a pack of 12 turkeys running through my yard.
Sweet. I had a bobcat in my yard.
Well, this can be considered squirreling or going in circles. No. This is a nature program.
Those are some delicious-looking turkeys.
They're pretty plumpy.
Yeah, that looks like Thanksgiving.
That's a good-sized male right there.
Yep.
Two. Ooh, that's really a bigger male.
So welcome to the Tiny Ed Adams Nature Podcast.
Yep. All right. There you go. Turkeys are us.
So, yeah.
Speaking of going to the bar.
Yep.
I don't know if this is next on your hit list or where we're at on your hit list. As long as we're on the bar subject at the moment. When you go to the bar, you drive 10, 15 minutes to the bar. You're so excited. And I understand if you don't drink very much, but if you are a drinker, don't go to the bar and go, well, and then the bartender's like, looks at you like, hello? Are you there? You want to order?
Right.
I'll be right back. And then you come back and you're all mad because he skipped you. He skipped you because you didn't know and he had 15 other people to serve.
They knew what they wanted.
And they
already ordered. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to go make their drinks real quick and give you that second to process, but don't get offended by it.
Don't get offended by it.
I have to run. It's a running game.
Or tell them right away, I don't drink very much, but I kind of like, because Adam has a great strategy on people that don't drink very well.
Yeah, we get a lot of vacationers. We're a resort business, so a lot of our guests, especially in the summer, they're staying a week. This is their 1 week vacation. A lot of them are families. And you could tell the bar families that go to bars in their hometown. And you could tell people, there's a lot of people that just aren't home bar people. So their only time they're at a bar is that 1 week where they're staying at a resort, which happens to have a bar.
Yep.
And they're hanging out with their family and friends, and that's cool. But I get it. If you're not really a drinker or a bar person, what do you want? So I came up with a quick line just to help. When I see that look, like lost in space look, I'm like, this is going to be a few minutes here, and I don't have time. I just said, I'm going to guide you to what you want. So my first question is liquor or beer? So if they go beer, I'm going to say, here's our tap beers, and do you like light beers or whatever?
Yeah, light beers.
If they say liquor, then I start with, okay, let's start with brown or clear.
Yep.
Liquor or beer, brown or clear.
What if they say red? You'd be like, you want Kool-Aid?
Well, I like that because at least it gives me some guidance. Mm-hmm. I can whip up a really delicious red drink. Now at least I know, at least you told me something
that's
to
true.
Work with.
I don't
but
know
usually I can guide them to like, cool, if they want clear, then I know I got, gin, vodka, rum to work
tequila.
With.
Tequila.
Yeah, Usually, if they're not bar people, I won't give them tequila because they're probably not going to choose that. Oftentimes, they want something at summer vacation. So oh. I'll be like, cool. If they say clear, then I'm like, I could really whip up some awesome flavored vodka cocktails because that's kind of my passion. I can guide them towards that. If they want brown, then I'm like, you want a mixer or do you want like a stiff? I can suggest if they want a sipper, a stiff one, so good high-end whiskey on the rock, splash of water or something. And if they want a mixer, then I can whip up all kinds of things. You just got to, I learned that's a good method to get them to an answer faster. Because what I think a lot of people don't realize is when you're giving me this order, I have already my next 20 steps in my head. I need to get yours done so I can get to these 20 steps or else I'm going to lose that whole pattern. There's always 20 things going through a bartender's head if we're busy.
Yep. There's always that list of things.
And speaking of that, like those indecisive ones, I find it a lot and it does irk me a little bit. Full bar, standing room only, I'm running, two bartenders running around like batshit crazy. And everybody could see it.
Yep.
And the group probably on one end of the bar, and there's be a group of four or five, whatever. And they're waving their hands, yelling, you know, over here, over here. So I, you know, give them a I'll be right with you type thing. Finish up my task that I'm doing, make my drinks, give it out. And then 2 minutes later, I go right to them, 2 or 3 minutes, whatever it might be. And I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks for your patience. What do you need? And they're like, oh, what are we drinking? And they look at each other, and then they still don't know. Like, you've been, four of you had your hands waving. You're yelling for me.
Like, they wanted a Bud Light right there in the...
Yeah, and I put them on priority number one list when I finish my task, and then I get there, and they not only did they flag me down, but they had 3 more minutes till I got there. And then they're like, oh, what are we drinking today? And then they start talking amongst each other, and you're just like, don't flag me down.
Right.
If I don't mind being flagged down because it... Oftentimes it's one or two bartenders, it's packed. Like I may not see you. So if you put your hand up, that's cool. I'm gonna give you a thumbs up. I'll be right with you.
You're on the list.
But when I get to you after you flag me down, please know what you want. Please know what you want. Because then they're just like, oh, and then the wife and the husband are like, I don't know, what are we drinking today? And like the other two are with them and they're just like, you flagged me down for what?
He flagged you down for nothing.
Right. And then that took away from, I just walked past 6 people that needed drinks too. But because you flagged me down and I gave you the I'll be right there signal, put you a first priority.
Yep.
So think about that too. Before you pound your beer can or you start flagging a server down.
I hate when people pound bar cans or beer cans.
Yes, that is a bartender's worst nightmare.
I put you on the bottom of my list when that happens.
If you do start doing that or you're doing the whistling, I will knock you down on the list.
Yep. I just, you know, if you push it forward so they can see your, especially like cans, you can't see through cans, you can't see through some bottles.
Yep.
Push it forward, you know, then, hey, I need a drink.
Yeah. But just know what you want before you summon the server.
And if you don't know what you want, have a good idea of a clear, brown,
right,
light beer, dark beer.
And that's the thing, too. If you really don't know, you know, a good bartender wants to help guide someone through a process. Same with a good server would guide them through a menu to get them to what they want to eat. And I love doing that. I love helping people get to the drink and making them an awesome drink. And that was a nice personal experience for them and me. But, you have to give me some guidance. That's a bar. There's a lot of different liquors out there. You can't just like make me a good drink. Like a good drink to you and a good drink to me or a good drink to the guy next to you are three different things.
Yep.
Captain and Coke is a really good drink to some and
Barfies to
you
me.
You know, a smoked old fashioned is a good drink to another. They're two different things.
Yep.
But if you tell me red, perfect. I'm going to look at my red boozes and I'm going to quickly come up with something that I think is going to be delicious and boom, I'm going to make your day.
Yep.
I just need something to work.
Need something.
Not just make me a good drink. Gin and tonic is the greatest drink in the world to some. I can't fucking stand them. I mean, I'll make them. I can't drink them. That's not a good drink to me. So
right?
Give me some.
It's not a good drink for me either.
Vodka tonics
are good.
I can't do tonic. It's weird.
Oh.
Tastes like I feel like I'm licking a 9-volt battery.
I feel like I'm a British sailor or something. Arr.
That reminds me of a funny toast that someone did at the bar.
Is it toastable? Should we toast it?
It was I hear a lot of weird toasts from, it's always the one guy in the group that, what do you say? It'll come back to me.
All right, we'll move on.
It had to do with buttholes and batteries. Oh, yeah. Cheers to buttholes and batteries. Two things we shouldn't lick, but we always do.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Should I edit that out? Probably not.
Probably not. We'll see how it sounds.
Yeah.
So, patience. We covered patience. Try to keep your group semi-organized, whether it's one person taking charge or just be aware of what's happening.
Yep.
Make it easier on yourselves and the server, and you'll get the better service. The more chaotic you are, the slower your service is going to be, or the more inconsistent it's going to be.
And the more grumpy I'll be.
And then there's some little specific things we talked about.
Are we going to talk about the cup thing?
We can talk about that right now.
I think we should leave that number one, because I hate that.
Okay, so there's a lot of things that the patrons will do to, they think they're helping the server or the bartender. One thing I see that just absolutely makes my skin crawl, because I have to stick my hand in yuckiness. They put the napkins into the glass, the empty glasses, when they
leave. Or they're half full.
A lot of times they're half full.
Are the creamers inside?
Yeah. And they think they're cleaning up, like, oh, it's one less thing for whoever's cleaning the table to grab. But what you don't realize is that oftentimes there's ketchup and ranch and mayo and it's all on that napkin. Granted, we're going to wash the cup, but now I've got to reach in there with my hands and touch this mystery sauce that I can't identify because it's in your drink.
Right.
But two, I pulled the napkin out. Now there's mayo and ketchup in the glass. Because you wiped your lips and you were eating ranch. Now that glass is dirtier, more of a pain to wash.
Mm-hmm.
I got to rinse it and get that ranch out before I dip it in the bar sink scrubbers. So it's a nice gesture. I understand what they're trying to do, but it actually is kind of a pain in the ass, and it's gross.
It's gross.
It really is.
And actually, sometimes if I look in the coffee cup and they're in there, I'll just take the whole coffee cup and just dump it into the garbage, even though there's water and there's coffee in it. I'm not going to touch it. Nope.
I do the same. Usually there's enough paper towels in the garbage to soak
absorb it up.
Yeah. But it's kind of disgusting to have to reach into a glass and you not even know what you're touching. At least if the napkin's on the table, I can grab the corner without the slime. But it's in a cup and it's wet and then the cup's dirtier.
I'd rather touch the napkin. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, pardon me. I'd rather touch the cat napkin than touch the, who knows, soggy, nasty.
Yeah, it's wet and slimy. And you can't see what's on it.
I try not to think what they've done if they blew their nose in it. I try not to think about that. Even if I blow my nose, I take it and I put it in my pocket and I take it home with me. I'm like, one of my friends is like, what are you doing that for? You know, I'm like, I don't want the waiter to touch my boogies if there's boogies or whatever in there. I'd put it in my pocket, take it home, or go to the bathroom, throw it in the bathroom.
That's very courteous of you.
Because I think it's gross.
Because that's because we work in the industry. We do those things.
I know, right?
We think about those little things.
The little tiny things.
And then on top of a lot of people like to clean up their own table, and I appreciate it. Talk to servers in the past, and you mentioned it too.
Yep.
There are a lot of servers out there. A lot of people like to stack their plates, all in the center, and it's one less trip they're going to take it. But a lot of times, especially in the higher-end restaurants where they're using the tray to carry their dirty dishes, a lot of times the servers they would prefer if you just leave it as is because they're going to stack it on their tray, scientific method for balance. Because they've got to run through the restaurant and all that.
So. Even for me here, I'll look at if they stack them up, whatever, I'll take it. But what I hate is when they stack it up and the person they had like 10 ounces of ketchup on their plate, and then I have to go and clean the plates, and I put my hand in between the plates to grab the next plate. Yeah. And my hand feels some creepy, cold, slimy shit. And you go, oh, ketchup. And it's just the worst, gross, disgusting feeling to have ketchup in your hands. You're like, ugh. Because you know it's ketchup, but it still doesn't feel like
exactly.
Like,
mystery slime.
Yeah. You need to take it, spray it, and say a couple cuss words. And it's not that a lot of waiters hate it when you do that because they have their own special way of doing it. I don't really mind it until there's ketchup on the one plate and then my hand goes into it.
Yeah, I don't mind it where I work because we use paper baskets. So.
And then I don't pay that much attention sometimes because when I do my own plates, I can put stuff where I want it. When I'm back there cleaning, you're supposed to clean the back plate, but if you see the one plate, it was like eggs and this, eggs and that. You don't really scrub, scrub, scrub. But when you stack it, then all of a sudden I didn't see that butter packet on the back of your plate. So then it goes to the dish machine, and then you got to redo it again. Because, you didn't catch that butter pack because you weren't really paying that much attention.
Yep.
You're like,
so, small things out there, folks.
Right? Just small things. If you get rid of a couple small things, big things will happen.
Yeah. And me as a bartender, one thing I do like that I love when groups do it, especially when I'm busy and the way we're set up, it's just hard to get to weave through a crowd because we're a small place that's packed.
Yep. Man, you were packed the other night. I couldn't even fart right because it was so tight in there.
You had to pucker up from one table.
I had to pucker up and lean a little bit.
get out to your car.
Yeah.
That's funny. That was that night we were getting our asses kicked. Yep. And we needed another bartender.
But that was a weird, weird weekend.
It should have been our slowest weekend, but for whatever reason.
You got your asses whooped on. That's why I went to your bar. My ass should be slow. There, we can go over there.
Yeah. Usually that ski weekend is like, a bartender's a nice breather.
Yep.
Ooh, we weren't ready for that.
No.
Gave some people some days off. And it was fun, though. Me and my coworker, we crushed it. And it was like,
you guys worked hard, man.
That was one of those days where I go home and I literally sit at the edge of my bed or on my couch and I just process for 15 minutes. Like, how the fuck did we pull that off? And I pat myself on the back.
Yep. You did a great job.
Yeah. And Erica was rocking the grill and just crushing it. And we definitely needed another bartender, but it was like go time, adrenaline on high. We didn't miss a beat.
Yep. I like it when me and my friend sat down. We got lucky. We walked in. There was no room. So two people left the bar and we jumped right in, got them. And you looked at me and you're like, there's no food. I'm like, just want drinks. Okay.
I knew I could say that to you.
And I'm like, all right, that's cool. We just want drinks. Yeah. All right.
I wouldn't have said that to anyone else, but I knew I could say it to you because I knew you would look around and understand. Like,
oh, I knew right away. I'm like, that's fine.
You got 15 tickets deep and the grill's going to go off soon. And I'm just like, Tiny, you're not eating tonight.
If I wanted to, but can I have potato chips and two pickles, please?
Yeah. Frozen pizza for you, buddy.
Yeah. I wouldn't even order that.
Yeah.
That's too hard.
Although we do have good frozen pizzas.
Yes, you do. Good brand. That was amazing to watch you work that night.
It was interesting that night, and this is one thing, too, that leads into another point. You know, we're getting smoked, man. I'm fucking running. I mean, that was a heavy 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That was inhuman what we did. You had Larry left, and all of a sudden, it kind of died down.
Yep.
Like, it was still busy, but it wasn't. Like, we finally had a time to take a breath. And for, like, maybe a minute, I just, like, stood still. I was collecting my thoughts. I had no going through my list of 40 things we're behind on, you know, stocking this, stocking that, doing that.
Yep.
Thinking about the tabs that I get everybody when they left. And it was 1 minute in a medium busy bar. And sure enough, one guy walks in and sits down. And he's like, oh, slow day today. The other bars were packed. What's up? You scared them off? Or you just lean in, you're just sitting there? And I'm like, in my head, I got 400. I'm just processing all this information that just happened.
You put in order. Yep.
But that's the other thing that drives me nuts is when someone walks into a restaurant or a bar, and it might be empty at that minute, but they don't know that for the last 3 hours we got destroyed.
Yeah, you did $10,000 worth of food and
I'm just taking my minute to like collect my head because 5,000 televisions were going off in my head at once, and I'm thinking about all the shit I'm behind on that I'm going to catch my breath for a minute, and then I've got to restock for the next week.
Yeah.
But that assumption of like, oh, it's slow day today. Oh, it must be an easy day for you. And you're just like, you have no clue. I want to strangle you.
I'm going to reach over and throat punch you.
I'll show you a slow day. So don't assume that we didn't just get our ass kicked. Don't assume we don't have 400 things that we have to get caught up on.
Yep.
Or behind on. Or food prep in the back, things you don't see. Just that like arrogance. Like, oh, no one came here
must
today. All the other bars are busy. And I'm like, so
worried.
It's
kind of like Weekend at Bernie's. You never know. People will show up. I like that Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
No party here tonight? Oh, no, they'll show up. Because it goes from one bar to another bar to the bar. You might not be in the same loop as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a town where we had the triangle of bars. It was great because you always knew one bar was open. And if you hit the right bar, it was a triangle. You're like, go there for a few drinks and everybody would leave, go to this bar, then go to this bar. And then whichever, they took turns closing late. So the bartender called each other and like, hey, it's your turn. All right, I'll close late. So then I would go to that one bar.
Cool. And we get that a lot here. People meet up as groups doing the t-shirt runs, and then like, oh, we're doing a t-shirt run, and they meet another group, and then like three groups that didn't know each other all pile on, and then they just go bar hopping, and then it's like every bar takes turns getting their ass kicked with the same people. It's kind of
fun. Two-drink minimum. Gotta go.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't assume things. Have patience with us. Be nice.
Yeah. We'll be nice to you if you're nice to me.
Yeah. We really do.
All right. I probably won't be nice to you. Just tell
Tiny,
you.
Tiny will be a dick, but I'll be nice to you.
I'll do it with a smile.
There you go. But all in all, most people in this industry that do have the passion that I have or, you know, you have, and we do want to give you the best service.
I want to make you happy.
It makes us feel good to give you the best service. There are circumstances where it may seem like the service isn't that great, but there is usually a legit reason.
Yep.
And we're doing other things in order to give everyone the best service. But
yeah, it's, you know, whatever kind of job you have and your computer keeps on crashing that day or the internet keeps on going down and you get the phone call and someone's yelling at you.
Yep.
It's basically kind of the same thing for us, but different way.
And a lot of times it's just...
You just don't know what's going on.
You know, a lot of times with like the food part of it, what people don't get... Maybe, like you said earlier, maybe they were in your establishment a couple weeks ago. They got their food out in 15 minutes.
Yep.
Then whatever level of busy, maybe they come back a couple weeks later. They see the same level of busyness. Now their food is 40 minutes. A lot of times there's just little factors like what the other people in the room ordered. Everybody was ordering the most time-consuming thing and you only have so much grill space. Like, yes, your food, your same dish that you got last week was 15 minutes, but maybe the ticket pattern was all fast stuff.
Yep.
You never know in the back of the house. Like, or you got to stop and do prep because you got your ass kicked. Now you're out of onions, you're out of this. And there's just a lot of little things that are not...
Or the best thing is like, you're like, we only sell 10 of these in about a week. We're only going to do 5 then for the night. Well, then all of a sudden you sell 15. You're like, where the hell is this?
Yeah.
Like, where did this come from?
Yep. So that's the whole patience thing. Like, there's a lot more than meets the eye in a restaurant. We are really, really trying to give you the best attention.
I try to give, unless you're a complete dick, I try to make your life very happy.
Yeah. And we enjoy it.
Yep.
That makes us happy.
Yeah.
That's why we're in the business.
We're the weirdos that put your happiness before our happiness.
That is true. That is true. So long, short.
No, I'm so exhausted most days.
It is exhausting. That's a really good point that we should touch on one day. The mental exhaustion that we exert because we really do in our heart of hearts. We do this job because we love making people smile.
Yep.
We love feeding them good and giving them entertainment and making their experience great.
A pleasure.
But oftentimes we neglect our own things.
Yep.
This is a future episode, I think.
All right. I'll say write that down, but I'll lose it.
That's At least you're honest.
I could put it in my phone, actually. I don't lose my phone.
What was it again?
I don't remember.
Mental
health, making people happy that...
We're going to do a mental health episode, and yes, this could be part of it.
Yes. And then us giving all to you to make you happy, and then us...
Cool.
Absorbing it.
I wrote it down.
The dark side.
I'll probably lose it, too.
I'll put it in my notes, too. When you're done.
Cool.
See? Thanks, people. If it wasn't for you, we would not be out here.
We had to talk it through, and now we figured it out.
Because of you, we talk.
Yeah. So I think we covered most of the big things that are that we see most frequently. I'm sure there's 20 little things I could think of, but that would just sound like nagging. And this episode wasn't meant to be...
Nagging.
Criticism of guests.
Nope.
You know, it wasn't supposed to be... That's not meant to be negative. It's more, like I said, it's just things that happen in our everyday life we're making you aware.
Hopefully make you a better patron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you can become a VIP, not a VAP.
That's right. And then I'll definitely get to your table first because you're a VIP.
That's right.
Bam, bong, bong.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Cool. Well, this was a good episode, I think.
And, I think it's a great episode.
A good topic, and it's great to be back in the world headquarters.
And just remember, if I don't like anything we say, it'll be edited out and nobody will ever know the difference.
Poof, what was it?
What was it? What are you talking about? I don't know.
Well, once again, everybody, we love you. Thanks for tuning in. Good to be back in the saddle. Like I said, we took a couple months off. We've got a couple episodes in over 2 weeks now.
Yep. This will be out in a little bit.
Episode number, who knows?
This is season 2, episode 2.
I like that. Season 2, episode 2.
Yep, that's what it is.
All right, everyone. Well, have a great rest of your week and enjoy your weekend. You'll hear from us hopefully sooner than later.
Hell yeah. Godspeed. Keep it true.
Come on, spring.
Yes. Come on, spring.
All right.
Bye-bye. We're out. Recorded at the world headquarters of the Cook and Bartender with Adam and Tiny.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Like, comment, follow, spread the word. We appreciate it. cookandbartender@gmail.com, cookandbartender on Facebook, or cookbartender@Instagram. Thank you.